I would like to take up on the Thursday nights the four forms of the gospel as it's revealed in the Word of God. Those four forms, first the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, the everlasting gospel, and then when you come to the epistle of Paul, you have what he calls my gospel. And of course, there's another statement made, and I didn't put that one down as a gospel because Paul said there's not another gospel. The one that he's talking about is a perversion of the true gospel. So I didn't list it in the fourfold because it's really not another gospel. So we're grateful tonight to see that from the Word of God. Now, these four forms of the gospel must be distinguished from one another. They must be rightly divided from one another. The gospel of the kingdom is not the gospel of the grace of God. And the gospel of the grace of God is not the gospel of the kingdom. Vice versa. The everlasting gospel is not the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of the grace of God. It may be included, of course. And then my gospel, Paul talks about, is the gospel of the grace of God in about seven different ways in the Scriptures. We'll take that up possibly next Thursday night. I just talked to my wife tonight, and she's doing just fine. Carl Seifert, my brother-in-law, is very low, hasn't eaten anything in 4 days, and continuously vomiting. He's got bone cancer, and he's drilled away to about 98 pounds. He's a believer and knows the Lord. We should pray for him. Carl Seifert, Wilmer's sister's husband, brother-in-law to me. And we are grateful to the Lord that he knows the Lord, but I'm afraid that Ethel doesn't know the Lord. She's in Duke University Hospital having one of these tests where they go up into your heart and split open the artery with a balloon or with a tube, whatever it is. And it's a very serious thing for her with a heart condition. And so Wilmer's standing by with one of her other sisters, and there's a nurse around the clock with our brother. And Wilmer's standing by helping all she can. So it may be the will of the Lord, the way God worked it out, that she be there to help out. So we're grateful for that. Before we read from Matthew 3, Matthew 4, and Matthew 10, and then we'll get into some more as we go along tonight. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 4, and Matthew chapter 10. Shall we bow again in a word of prayer? Father, we thank Thee tonight, and we say amen to everything that has gone up from the hearts of the people in this room. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We know Thou art here with us. We know Thou art within us, everyone that is saved. And we know, Father, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Lord, we do not know anything about this book apart from the author. By Thy Spirit, Father, these men were moved to write Thy Word, the revelation of God, as they were inspired by Thee, by the Spirit, to put down the words of God that we have before us. Lord, we thank You for it. Oh, we praise You for Your Word that will stand the sands of time, will stand for time and eternity. It will not pass away. It cannot be broken. One day it'll be settled on earth as it is in heaven. We know that day's coming when Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we ask You now to teach us together as we study together tonight, that our hearts might be lifted, we might see what Thou art going to do, what Thou art doing now, and what Thou hast done. We thank You, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news that God is going to set up. He purposes to do this. He will do it to set up on this earth a kingdom in fulfillment of the covenant he made with David, a kingdom that is political, a kingdom that is spiritual, a kingdom that is universal. In other words, the Son of God, the rightful heir, David's son, will sit on a throne in Jerusalem just as sure as you're sitting in that seat, and will reign over this earth for one literal 1,000 years. And he's going to deal, and there will be the manifestation of the righteousness of God in the affairs of men. This world is in a terrible mess tonight. Socially, economically, we talk about the United States being in a trouble. And it is. And all over the world, I've never heard of so much economical conditions. Towns and cities in the States are broke. I just left Albany, Georgia, and that town is broke, depending on the government for money. What's going to happen? I believe everything is pointing to the fact that Jesus is about to come back, and I'm not talking about his coming in the air. I'm talking about his coming to the earth. We know he must come 7 years preceding his coming to the earth. And everything we see is like a stage set, getting everything ready for that great unfolding of the tribulation period, which is yet to come. Now, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is not to be preached in this age. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. That was preached by John the Baptist first. That was preached secondly by our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it was preached by the 12 disciples. And then when they rejected their king, they rejected the kingdom, God then turned to the Gentile nations to take out of them a people for his name. That's what the Lord's doing tonight. He's not bringing in the kingdom. The church cannot bring in the kingdom. No nation or nations together united cannot bring in the kingdom. They cannot bring this golden age in. Only the Lord Jesus is going to set it up. And it's going to be set up by him when he comes to this earth. That's something we need to believe, something we need to lay hold of. Now, there are two preachings of this kingdom. One is past, and one is future. The gospel of the kingdom. Look with me in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is meant by the kingdom of heaven at hand means that the king is here. The king has arrived to give the kingdom to Israel. And that's what is meant. Go over to the 4th chapter and look at the 17th verse. After the Lord Jesus had come out of the wilderness, he says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now go with me to the 10th chapter, where he sends the 12 out to preach. He calls his 12 disciples in the first, I believe it's the first 4 verses. And then he said in verse 5, these 12 sent Jesus forth and commanded them. And I want you to know what he commanded, saying, go not. He tells them where not to go. Go not in the way of the Gentiles or the nations. And into any city of the Samaritans, enter you not. Then he tells them where to go. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel only. Then he tells them what to preach. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he tells them what to do. These things that he tells them to do, these things that he gave them power to do, they are, and listen to me carefully, they are the credentials of the kingdom and not of the charismatic movement tonight. No, sir. These credentials have been today in Christendom and the Christian world are being taken and applied to the church age, which is not scriptural at all. And I cannot go along with it. I love my brethren that's in those movements, those that are saved, but they are scripturally not rightly dividing the Word of God. Now he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what the word devils means. Freely receive, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Wouldn't it be ridiculous for me to go down to the airport when I get ready to leave here with no money to buy a ticket and expect to get to Nassau? Huh? This is not for us. This is not for the church age. This is for the kingdom age. And it was preached by these 12 disciples only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the next time the kingdom will be preached will be in the tribulation period. Go with me now to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And listen to these words. Matthew chapter 24, and shall we look at verse 13. Now I want you to, with me, put yourself in this portion of scripture in the tribulation. Because that's what it's talking about. This is not talking about before the tribulation, but in the tribulation. The tribulation is going on. The rapture of the church has taken place. The tribulation has begun. And these things are happening in the tribulation. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. What in the world does that mean? That does not mean salvation at all. There's not a single thing about that verse of the salvation of the soul. You know what it means? Those that are going through the tribulation, if they endure it to the end of it, they'll be saved physically in their flesh. They won't have to die. Now, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God said it's going to happen. There's going to be people that will endure that tribulation period. They're going to escape the mark of the beast. How, I don't know. God's going to do it, and that's his business. I'm not going to try to figure it out. And I know he's going to do it. Because there's going to be nations, saved nations, called the sheep nations of the 25th chapter, that will go into the millennium. There will be my brethren, which is the remnant of Israel, will go into the millennium. And these all escape the mark of the beast. He will make everybody take one. I don't know how some of them are going to miss it, but God's going to see to it. Now, those that are living on the earth in that day, in that tribulation period, if they endure by escaping death, they'll be alive at the end of the tribulation, and if they're saved by grace, which there will be, those are sheep nations. There will be unsaved nations also that will endure, because the goat nations are the unsaved in the 25th chapter. You see, the book of Matthew is primarily Jewish in its teaching, and we can't take it and apply it to the church. It doesn't belong to the church. It belongs to the kingdom. It belongs to the millennial age and all the things that precedes that kingdom. And so we see then that this means to endure to the end of the tribulation, they'll be saved. Now look across the page in your Bible to show you what I'm talking about. In verse 22, well, let's read verse 21. For then shall be great or the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this end, and this end, and nor ever shall be. And except those days, what days? The days of the tribulation should be shortened, except those days should be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. Now that clarifies verse 13, meaning that there would be nobody alive in their bodies. My dear friends tonight, did you know something? This world, the political world, the economical world, the social world, the scientists, and all the great politicians, they do not know what's going to happen to this world. They're trying to solve the problems of the world. Our good president, President George Bush, doing everything he can to bring about peace with the nations. He'll never do it. I admire him for trying, and I back him up for it. But he'll never do it. No one will be able to do it. It's a terrible condition, isn't it? And it's going to get worse. I don't know whether I've been here, been gone from here 4 years or 3 years or 2 years. Some says four, some says three. Somebody said 10. I don't think it's been that long. But I want to tell you something. Since I've been gone this long a time, it's got worse, hasn't it? And you know that as well as I do. So now those days is going to be shortened, so there'll be some people saved physically, go into the millennium, the 1,000 years, and populate that time, that period of time. Now let's go back to verse 14. Here we come with the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You notice the difference in what it said in the 10th chapter of Matthew, when he said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he's going to tell these 144,000 from Revelation 7 to go in all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Again, the message is being preached. Again, the kingdom's at hand. Again, the Savior, the Messiah is about to come to set up his millennial kingdom. And he's going to do it this time. They rejected him the last time, but this time he's going to set up that kingdom. You know why? He's going to put down every one of the kingdoms of this world. He's going to destroy the harlot church. He's going to cast her into the bottomless, unto the lake of fire. He's going to put down all the kingdoms that's against him. He's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to reign one literal 1,000 years. Dear saints, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. You and I are going to be the bride of Christ, sitting with him in judgment, yes, sitting with him in reigning, sitting with him in doing whatever he wants us to do. We'll be right by his side. This is the church age. We are the church, the bride of Christ, and we're going to be reigning with him. I get excited over this truth because it's so close. His coming is so close. Anybody that's got any knowledge of this book, it's a Christian, would have to say, Mr. Smith, he must come any time now for the church. And then all this will begin to unfold. Now, when you go to Matthew 28, you don't have to turn there, but note what it says. And I think our brother Ludi mentioned it in his prayer. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Not the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of the grace of God. That's our mission. That was the mission he gave the disciples. If you note the difference in the one he gave to the same disciples in the 10th chapter, but in the 28th chapter, he wasn't go to the whole world in the 10th chapter, but in the 28th chapter, go to the whole world. With what message? The gospel of the grace of God. God has raised me up from about seven different operations in the last 20 years, put me back on my feet, to preach this gospel at the age of 73 almost. I thank God for that, giving me the strength to go on and carry the message which I long to do, desire to do, to tell this message to sinners far and wide. I just had a young man to get saved in Auburn, Georgia, who was 33 years of age by the name of Aaron Fulmer. He came to me after the meeting one Sunday night. He said, "Mr. Smith, I'm lost." Tears running down his face, shaken with emotions, shaken under conviction. "Been running from God for 3 years," he said. He said, "I can't run, I can't hide from God. I might run from Him, but I can't hide." And God saved his soul, wonderfully saved him. The next following Sunday night, he was baptized and going on for the Lord. Pray for him, Aaron Fulmer. All right? This gospel must be preached in all the world for the witness. Who's going to do it? The 144,000. Revelation 7. Go with me to that chapter. Revelation chapter 7. I got so excited studying this afternoon and through the week that I wished I had the crowd to preach it at the time. And I don't know, it's just so wonderful. Look at the 7th chapter. We won't read the first 8 verses because that's the sealing of the 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 out of each tribe, making a total of 144,000. They are going to preach this gospel of the kingdom in just a little period of a little less than 7 years. We know that the 7 years is called in Daniel the 70th week of Daniel, which is the life week. That one week, which is made up of 7 years, and that week will be shortened. It'll be a little less than 7 years, because it said in Matthew 24 that God shortened the days. You're talking about war. You're talking about slaughter of mankind. And we kind of shiver in our shoes and our boots tonight when we think what could happen right yonder, right now, in the Gulf. Our boys is over stacked like sardines, so to speak, waiting. A lot of them, if it happens, to be killed. A lot of others. We pray that there will be something done that they won't have to. But we never know what could happen next. Somebody's going to pull the trigger and something's going to happen. I believe it'll be a nuclear war. I believe it'll be a war from the air. And there'll be a lot of people killed. A lot of innocent people killed. Let's pray for our boys that's over there. I thank God for boys who are willing to go and stand for the freedom of our country and the freedom of other countries. I praise God for everyone that laid down his life for us in America. I didn't get to go. I wanted to go, but turned down because of physical conditions. But thank God for those that went. Some of them came back. Some of them didn't. And I've been by the graves, the military graveyards in the States, some of them. And I walked through that graveyard thanking God with tears running down my face for those boys who bought my freedom in this country, in the country of the United States. You've got freedom here in these Bahamas Islands. Thank God for that. All right. It says here that they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and there's going to be a multitude of people get saved within just about 7 years. Can you imagine you talking about a revival? You're talking about a sweeping of souls. Brother John Bramhall says he believes that these 144,000 servants of the Lord will be like the fiery evangelistic Apostle Paul, carrying the message with such fervor and compassion that Paul had, carrying the gospel of the kingdom. And with it, they'll be preaching, yes, they'll be preaching the gospel of the grace of God. They'll be preaching the blood of the Lamb, because it says further in the chapter here that they washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They preach that. But they're also saying the King is coming. The King is coming. We sang that song. There's a brother in the States that sings it as solo. with a high tenor voice, and he almost lifts the ceiling, just lifts your heart right to heaven when he's singing. The King is coming. The King is coming. And he is coming. But he's come, in other words, the Lord of the church is coming first for his church. Dear saints, look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Look up. Don't get your roots too deep in this whole earth. Do everything you can to snatch every soul from the burning, because it's not too long that we've got to tell the story. I ask God to let me to live for just 3-4 things. That I might win souls to Jesus Christ. That I might honor and glorify my God. That I might help his saints, and that I might ever worship him till he comes. That's the only reason I want to live. Thank God, and I believe he's letting me do it till he says it's enough. That's going to be a day. And note now in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And note something now, this is not the church. This is tribulation saints. These are people that got saved in the tribulation. And it tells you so a little further in the chapter. The church is already in the heaven with God, with the Lord Jesus. The marriage supper of the Lamb. The judgment seat of Christ first, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're standing before him to be rewarded for our works while this terrible time is going on the earth. Now, I know there are some of our brethren that's gone away from the Lord. I don't mean in our meetings. I hope there's nothing in our meetings. But I know some of the brethren I went to Bible college with that preach what I'm preaching tonight. They have changed their mind. They've gone preaching the kingdom. They've gone preaching even that the church is going through the tribulation. My Bible tells me the church will not go through the tribulation. I can say that dogmatically. I can say it scripturally. And I wouldn't apologize for nobody for it, because it's in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, about 5 or 6 verse there. Romans chapter 1, chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That condemnation not only means no condemnation of sin, no condemnation of hell, no condemnation of yet to come. The wrath to come. We have been saved from the wrath that's yet to fall on this earth. My, thank God for that. I'm going to be up yonder and you're going to be up there when all of this is going on. If there is one tonight in this meeting unsaved, dear unsaved friend, you are to run to Christ tonight and let him save your soul, because you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He may come. It'll be too late for you. Now read on with me. It says, and before the Lamb clothed with white robes, verse 9, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Where did they come from? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. Or they said, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple, and he sitteth, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. Now note something. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any, nor any heat, because they're during the tribulation. One period of time, the sun's going to be so hot that it'll scorch men. And these people have died for the cause of Christ. a great multitude saw, John saw them in heaven, washed in the robe, washed the robes in the blood of the Lamb. This is not the church. This is the results of the preaching of the kingdom and the preaching of the blood of the Lamb, that these souls got saved by a multitude that could not be numbered just in a little short time of about 7 years. My, what a wonderful fact this is. Dear saints, our job tonight is to carry the gospel of the grace of God. You say, well, what is that? We'll get into it in more detail next Thursday night, Lord willing. Well, let me just mention it now. The gospel of the grace of God is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I'm so glad it isn't according to the theologian. It's not according to some philosopher. It's not according to your feelings. It's not according to some idea or some religious belief. It's according to the Scriptures that He died for my sins and died for yours, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise God, dear saints. We rest on the naked Word and nothing else. Nothing else will stand. Your feelings will change like the weather. You'll feel good today and feel terrible tomorrow. You depended on your salvation by feelings, you'd be half saved half of the time and half unsaved the rest of the time. Praise God, I'm glad I'm saved all the time because the Word of God says so. Resting in Him. You see, it's faith. Let me ask you something, dear saint. Do you believe these truths I'm trying to give to you tonight? I'm doing it in a stumbling way. I'm so inadequate, but God knows what I mean from my heart. It's wonderful, isn't it? What a day it's going to be. Now let me sum it up like this. What's the next thing to happen in this world? As far as God is concerned. The rapture of the church. What's to happen before that? The calling out a people for His name. We're talking about that name tonight. A people for His name. Have you ever thought about how large the body of Christ is? I don't know. I believe there's going to be a number that you're going to be so surprised when we are called up together to meet Him in the air. What a company of saints rising from this old earth. Those who bodies who are in the grave will come out first. Then we are alive or remain caught up together, rising to meet that one that called us by the shout of His voice.